Hello everyone, my name is Mart Ross, and in the coming 15 minutes or so I'm going to talk to you about root traits in grass species that are commonly used in production grassland, and whether we can link these root traits to the performance of the grass species under phosphorus limiting conditions. Now, as we all know, phosphorus is a limiting nutrient often in plant growth and also in agriculture. And besides this, grasslands are very dominant land use across the world. In fact, over one quarter of the entire Earth's ice-free surface is grassland, and in Europe, for example, more than one third of the entire agricultural land use is grassland. Now, over the coming decades, century, it's very likely that the inputs, the phosphorus inputs in grasslands and in agriculture in general, are going to decrease, and that's mainly because of two reasons, in my opinion. The first one is that due to stronger environmental legislation, we'll have less fertilizer to be allowed on these on agricultural land, and that's to prevent harmful algae blooms and to prevent phosphorus loss to surface waters. And secondly, phosphate rock fertilizers are a limited source, so we might expect an increase in the phosphorus fertilizer price. Now, therefore, it's needed to increase the phosphorus use efficiency in agriculture and in grasslands, and one way we can do this is by picking the right species. Now, plants have several mechanisms they can utilize to increase their phosphorus acquisition, phosphorus uptake, and a lot of these are related to root structure, like, for example, increasing the root shoot ratio, increasing specific root length, that is the length of the root per grams of root, or increasing soil exploration, for example, rooting more densely into the topsoil where a lot of nutrients are, or increasing the soil depth. Then there's also some mechanisms that are not related to root structure, but something else, for example, mycorrhizal symbiosis, excretion of organic acids or phosphatases, which may allow plants to access phosphorus that is either bound to metal hydroxides or is stored as organic phosphorus. In this talk, I'm going to be focusing on the first four and not so much on the organic acids or phosphatases. And it's important to note that these specific strategies can occur at the same time, or they can plants can choose to invest in one. So they can be a trade-off, if you will. Now, the thing about phosphorus and grass root characteristics, there has been some research on this topic, but they're not usually very linked. And if they are, it's usually in semi-natural or natural grasslands, which is great for ecologists because there's a really wide variety of species and there's a lot of differences, but not so much for agronomists. In fact, grass species used in production grasslands are mostly determined by their yield under phosphorus or under optimal conditions, nutrient-rich conditions, and never really based on root characteristics or performance under phosphorus limiting conditions. So we came up with a few hypotheses. The first one is basically that plants or grass species that perform really well under phosphorus rich condition will do relatively poorly when phosphorus fertilization is omitted or when phosphorus availability is low. And the second one is that a root biomass distribution over the soil profile, so the roots in the topsoil versus the root in the subsoil, as well as specific root length, are the main drivers for these differences. So to test this, we set up a greenhouse experiment as a full factorial randomized block design, and it's basically very easy. We used two different phosphorus fertilization treatments, P0 and P1. In the P0 treatment, we supplied all the nutrients except for phosphorus, and in the P1 treatment, we supplied all the nutrients including phosphorus, so as to create two different conditions. We tested this for 8 different species and cultivars, and we used PVC columns of about 40 centimeters deep. We collected the soil for this experiment from a Dutch pasture, and the thing to know about this soil is that it was very low in available phosphorus. And we used the PAL value right here, which is a Dutch agronomic soil test, and the thing to know is it's whenever it's below 100, it's characterized as very low. That's an ammonium lactate extraction, if you're interested. And the low availability was not due to a lack of phosphorus in the soil itself, because as you can see, the total P and also the organic phosphorus in the soil was pretty high, actually very high, I might say. But the reason why it was so low in available phosphorus is because there were a lot of aluminium and iron oxides to which all this phosphorus binds. As you can see when looking at the phosphorus saturation value, which is very low. So over 10 months we took 11 harvests, and we harvested the shoots, analyzed these for nitrogen and phosphorus content, and we used these grasses that I listed here. Some of them are in the drawings there. You might recognize a few. There's perennial ryegrass. There's some blue grasses in there. We also, at the end of the experiment, we took root samples in 2 different layers, in the top 10 centimeters of the pots and in the remainder, so the other 30 centimeters, and we did some root analysis on that too. Now, jumping to the results, what you can see here is the yield, the cumulative yield over the entire length of the experiment. The green bars, the dark green bars, are the P1 treatment, so with phosphorus, and the light bars are without phosphorus. The different species are listed on the x-axis, and this shows the yield for shoots as well as for roots. And the main thing is we did see an increase in yield for all the species when phosphorus was applied, but the differences between species were bigger than the effect of phosphorus fertilization. Now we can express the difference between without the treatment without phosphorus and the treatment with phosphorus in a different way, namely as the relative decrease in performance when we omit phosphorus. So this is basically P0 divided by P1. And what we can see is that it is the same species that do absolutely very well, so on an absolute scale, as relatively. So, for example, there's the annual ryegrass that does really well. There's the velvet grass that does really well, but the rough bluegrass, for example, stays behind. And this was a pattern that we saw in all of the plants, except for the Kentucky bluegrass, which had a relatively low decrease in yield when we omitted the fertilizer. So high-yielding species are also doing relatively well. And we saw the same results for phosphorus uptake, albeit a bit more pronounced, but it's the same species showing the same pattern. Then jumping to the root characteristics, we measured all these root traits you can see in the left of the column in the different soil layers, and we did not really see a big effect of phosphorus fertilization, except for mycorrhiza, which I was kind of happy because it's well documented that this happens. So at least we saw an effect of phosphorus treatment on mycorrhiza, but not really on the other treatments. Luckily, the grass species differed a lot in the different root treatments, but they were not really affected by phosphorus treatment. And this indicates that there might be limited plasticity of these root traits, or at least in the experimental conditions that we tested them in. What we did observe was a trade-off between root mass and specific root length, as indicated here. You can see the root mass on the x-axis and the specific root length, which should be in meter per gram, not in milligram per gram. That's a mistake. So the different symbols represent the different plant species, and we can see that the plants with the higher root biomass make fewer fine roots. Now we wanted to see what the combined effect was of the different root traits that we measured on yield, and to do that and to account simultaneously for trade-offs like these, we used structural equation modeling to kind of analyze these results. And the way this works is you build a model with links between the different roots traits, and then you quantify the relationships between them. In the end, it's our goal to explain yield. So basically, in this figure, all the arrows point towards the yield, but it also accounts for trade-offs like we've seen in the previous slide, indicated by the red arrow in the top between specific root length and total root mass. So the red arrows represent negative relationships in this figure, and the green arrows represent positive relationships. And what we see, I won't go into all the details of this, but the main message is that the biggest effect on yield was caused by root mass and total root length. We also saw that there was a significant relationship between subsoil exploration, which is the relative amount of root found below 10 centimeters in our soil. So the species that were rooting deeper generally had a higher yield. And then there's also this arrow between specific root length and yield, which we couldn't really explain very well. It was not a direct biological explanation for this. So it might have something to do with root traits that we did not measure, but get proxied by specific root length in this model. So root mass and root length are the most driving factors, but also subsoil exploration had a significant effect. And we can say for a few differences, we can see the same pattern in the other phosphorus treatment, because we did it for both treatments. Albeit that over there it's a bit more pronounced, the relationships are a bit stronger. So coming back to the hypotheses, first, we hypothesized that the species that performed really well under phosphorus-rich conditions were not performing well under phosphorus-limiting conditions. And this is not really true, because in this experiment we saw that they were doing relatively well in both treatments. And the second is we hypothesized that root biomass distribution, so the roots in the subsoil and specific root length, are the main driving factors. Whereas there were significant relationships, the most important ones were between root length and root mass and yield. So, concluding, we saw that root traits generally varied among the different species that we used, but they were not affected by phosphorus treatment. The most important root characteristics in this experiment were root length, root mass, and subsoil exploration. And we could use this information to maybe select for species to use in the future in grasslands, or to make composite seed mixtures for grasslands in the future. So there's a picture of a cow, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
We do have a couple of minutes for questions.
Yes.
Did you test for correlation between shoot root length and root biomass? Root length and biomass.
So the question was if I tested for correlation between root length and root biomass. Yes, we did actually, and that's maybe I should explain the structural equation model a bit better. So all these arrows kind of indicate the relationships. So if there's a high number or a very low number, or very negative or very positive, it means that there's a big correlation between these two traits. And if you see, we have the value is the 1.17 and the 1.22 between total root mass and total root length. So that indicates that there's a large positive relationship between that. Yes?
I'm just curious, since you looked at total root mass, since typically root mass is associated with biomass, did you look at the ratio of root to above ground biomass to below ground above ground to see if that is correlated?
We did.
Is it just total?
Oh, so yeah. So the question was that whether we took root shoot ratio into account, right? So in this model, you see, for example, there's if you start at total root mass, and you go down. You go down to total root length and then to yield. This indicates there's a positive relationship between total root mass and yield. But there's also a second arrow to the side, which is a negative one. So, and this basically takes into account the root shoot ratio, because when a plant is investing energy in producing roots, it cannot invest the same energy into shoots. So I think in this way, this is taken into account in this model.
Thank you.
Thank you.